would turn with me to Luke chapter 21. Reading verses 25 through 28. On page 881 of the Pew Bible. And if you would turn also to Psalm 24. Beginning on page 458. Beginning with Psalm 24, a psalm of David. This is the word of the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 28. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. This is the word of the Lord. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus tells of the coming destruction of the temple and Jerusalem, which is followed in verse 24 by the times of the Gentiles, that is, the times of the nations, for Gentile simply means nation. And the times of the Gentiles, The times of the nations are followed by the coming of the Son of Man, which is the end of this world. This means that we are currently living in the time of the Gentiles, a time that will continue until the end, until the Son of Man comes in power and glory. It is the time in which the gospel is preached to the ends of the earth, the time when the gospel is proclaimed to all nations, when both Jew and Gentile are brought into the church through the hearing of the gospel with faith. What then is the church looking for? What is the church hoping for? What is the church longing for? It is not the rebuilding of an earthly temple, nor the prosperity of the earthly Jerusalem. It is one thing and one thing alone: the coming of the Son of Man. The coming of the Son of Man in power and glory. For this, the church longs and prays. For this, the church waits. But what is the church to be doing while she waits? She is to be preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, so that when he comes, he may find faith on the earth. But when will that be? No one knows. And we will not know for sure until it has come to pass. But we are told to be ready. And so we must remain ready until he does, until he comes again. And though we may not know the day or the hour, in Luke chapter 21, verses 25 and 26, Jesus tells us the signs that will accompany the coming of the Son of Man in power and glory. And the first of those signs concerns the sun and the moon and the stars. And though here he does not say what will become of them, we hear the echo of the Old Testament in his words, such as Isaiah chapter 13, verse 10. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land a desolation and to destroy sinners from it. For the stars of the heavens and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be dark at its rising, and the moon will not shed its light. I will punish the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. I will put an end to the pomp of the arrogant, and lay low the pompous pride of the ruthless. In Isaiah chapter 13, the day of the Lord, the judgment of the world, it is marked by the darkening of the heavens, by the heavens not giving their light. And we hear this again in Joel chapter 2, verse 30. And I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. The coming of the Son of Man in power and glory. It is the coming of the day of the Lord. That day when the heavens will be darkened. That day when the heavens will no longer give their light. For on that day, the Son of Man comes with wrath in his hand to judge the world in righteousness. But there will be signs not only in the heavens on that day, but also on the earth. Not only will the sun and the moon and the stars no longer give their light, but there will be on the earth distress, distress of nations in perplexity, because the roaring of the sea and the waves. And in these words, we again hear the echo of the Old Testament, especially Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter, he utters his voice, the earth melts. Behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. In Psalm 46, the coming of the Lord in judgment to bring desolations on the earth, it is accompanied by the roaring of the waters and the raging of the nations. And so again we see that the coming of the Son of Man is the coming of the Lord in judgment, the one who commands the wind and the water that they obey him. And in verse 26, Jesus says that people will faint in fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. And perhaps our generation may be described as one fainting with fear over the waves of a rising sea. But it is not a natural phenomenon of which Jesus here speaks. But the final sign is the shaking of the heavens. And as with the other signs, in these words, we also hear the echo of the Old Testament. Hear Haggai. Chapter 2, verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. and I will shake all nations, so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. And again in Haggai chapter 2, verse 21, I am about to shake the heavens and the earth, and to overthrow the throne of kingdoms, to destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations. In Haggai chapter 2, the shaking of the heavens and the earth is followed by the destruction of the kingdoms of the earth. But it is also followed by something else. It is followed by the filling of the temple of the Lord with glory. And here we may pause and wonder, how could the coming of the Son of Man mean the filling of the temple with glory, when Jesus has just announced that the temple will be destroyed? That very temple that was being rebuilt in Haggai's day. How can the coming of the Son of Man mean the filling of the temple with glory when Jesus has just told us that that temple will be destroyed? And make no mistake, we are not reading the temple into this passage. For in Luke chapter 21, not only do we have the echo of Haggai chapter 2 in verse 26, but we also have the echo of Psalm 24 in verse 28. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. We hear in Jesus' instruction to his disciples in verse 28, the echo of Psalm 24. Psalm 24, verse 9, lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. The coming of the Son of Man in power and glory, it is the coming of the Lord of hosts. It is the coming of the King of glory. And in Psalm 24, to where does he come? To his city. To his house, to his temple. The gates are to lift up their heads. The doors are to be lifted up, that the Lord of hosts, that the King of glory may enter his temple. When the Son of Man comes in power and glory, he will come to enter his temple. And if there is still any doubt about this, consider verse 27. Luke chapter 21, verse 27. And then they will see the Son of Man. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now there is no doubt that in verse 27, we hear the echo of Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. There is no doubt in Luke chapter 21, verse 27, we hear the echo of Daniel chapter 7, where we behold the Son of Man on the clouds of heaven, being given a kingdom without end. But even as we hear that echo, even as we note the similarities between Luke chapter 21 and Daniel chapter 7, we may also note a significant difference. In Daniel chapter 7, where do we find the Son of Man? We find him in the clouds. But in Luke chapter 21, where do we find him? We find him in a cloud. Now you may not think that is a significant difference. But why would Luke make singular what Daniel has as plural? Why would Luke write in a cloud when Daniel writes in the clouds? Especially as both Matthew and Mark record it as Daniel did, the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. Why does Luke do this? Because Luke wants us to hear not only Daniel chapter 7, but also Exodus chapter 40. In Exodus chapter 40, after the completion of the tabernacle, what happens? Exodus chapter 40, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And again, in 1 Kings chapter 8, after the completion of the temple, what happens? 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. The coming of the Son of Man in a cloud with great power and glory. It is the coming of the glory cloud. That cloud of Exodus chapter 40, that cloud of 1 Kings chapter 8. It is the coming of the Lord to fill his temple with glory. That brings us back to our question. What temple? For Jesus has just announced the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Are we then awaiting the rebuilding of an earthly temple in the earthly Jerusalem? No, indeed. But why not? Because you are the temple of the living God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And again, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ is the temple of God on earth. And the Church of Jesus Christ is the temple of God in glory. As the gospel is proclaimed, as the nations are drawn to him, that temple is built upon him and beneath him, for he is its foundation, and he is its cornerstone. And when at last the gospel has been proclaimed throughout the whole world to all nations, when that last living stone has been added and his house is complete, then the Son of Man will come in a cloud to fill the temple with glory. Why else does he tell his disciples? Why else does he tell the church? When these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads. Lift up your heads and be lifted up, that the King of glory may come in. For when the Son of Man comes on a cloud, he will fill the church with glory. Here is your confidence for that day. Here is your assurance for that day. For without it, on that day we would surely tremble before the righteous indignation of the Lord as he executes judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. For we, no less than his enemies, are guilty of great sin. But here is your confidence. Here is your assurance for that day. The judge of that day is also your Savior. The one who first came in weakness and humility to give himself for you, he might save you from your sins, that he might deliver you from the wrath of God, that he might take you to himself forever. And if you ever doubt it, when you doubt it, remember this promise, the promise of Luke chapter 21. The coming of the Son of Man in a cloud with power and great glory is the coming of your redemption. So straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Lift up your hands, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts, the Son of Man, Christ Jesus, our Lord. He is the King of Glory. Amen. Let us pray. Amen.